Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey.
I went into, onto the internet and found names in Africa.
Cool.
So the story today is going to be about a client with the name, and of course, I've made up the name, Johari.
Cool.
Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, their names are so beautiful. They sound like angels' names.
And would they actually pronounce the J? I have fucked up your podcast already, it seems. I was just curious.
Did you just see the blank look on my face? You know what? I think everybody that's been listening to our podcast knows that I don't totally have my shit together.
Yeah, I know.
And that I'm doing my best here. I have no idea if I'm going to pronounce any names correctly anywhere in the world for that matter, really. So I'm just going to go with Johari. And, you know, people want to correct me, they can send a message in if they wish. Anyway, so and let's get right into it. She calls and asks me if I can talk to her mom. And calls meaning that we're over Zoom, right? And says she wants to connect to her. And her mom starts and says, okay, let's just give her some facts. Let's just start because I know that's how Karen wants to start the session. And she says she has five daughters.
Wow.
Yeah. And she says they're all older, married, like off living their lives kind of a thing. And I asked her that and she said that was correct. And I said, any grandchildren? And she goes, nope, none of the girls have kids yet. So, okay, just another validation, no grandchildren. And I say that, I still think it's important to say those things because there are other people that will say, well, of course she has grandchildren. It just makes sense. She has five.
Nope, does not. People have rights.
Yeah, I want to point that out where many clients will say in sessions, well, of course, because they have an idea in their mind of how people are supposed to be living their lives or how they do. Mm-hmm. And then they project that into the session. Mm-hmm. And I can't make any kind of assumptions about anybody whatsoever. I have to wait for the spirit guides or for the people who've crossed over to give me every single bit of information. Anyway, and then she went on and her mom said, she's married to the same man. All children are with the same partner. She said one partner was correct too. And then she says, no, I actually just want to talk to her about the way she's living her life. She says she's well-educated. She said she's gone to both college and university and she does courses. Like she still always wants to learn. It's always related to work and progress so she can make more money. She says she doesn't work at emotional intelligence. She doesn't work at other things, like even in her off time. She says so she's super focused in one area. So I asked Johari that, and she said, yeah. She said, I didn't understand that there was a school of emotional intelligence. She says, there's no such thing. She says, there's no courses. There's no books. She says, I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Right?
That's like someone in a different part of the world being like, there's no business schools. What do you mean Harvard? That's not a thing.
Right. Yeah. Like she just kind of was like, well, that just doesn't even exist. And I had to sit there and kind of go, okay, I don't know what country she's in. My clients are all over the world. Like that could be possible. And again, I can't make any of those assumptions. I can just repeat exactly what her mother's telling me. And then Johari can kind of come back with her comments. And I have to kind of say, well, I don't know what country you're in.
Maybe she's from North Korea.
Right? Like wherever she's from. So I just said to her, well, there is. And like, you know, here are the names of some books. And she goes, oh, this is psychology.
Oh, so you do know.
And she goes, this, you mean psychology? I'm not a psychologist. Like that. And I said, well, there's a whole self-help center in bookstores, like, and online. It's they're not for psychologists. They're purposely for everybody to be able to communicate. And she goes, oh, I see where you're going with this.
All right, well, she got there quick enough.
Yeah. She goes, I think I know what mom's doing. She says, but I'm going to sit and listen. She goes, just go ahead with this then, Karen. So then her mom says that Johari really privileges one area of life. And as a result, there's a real lack in another area. And she says, but I also want to point out that even within that, it's always like more in one area. So she says, I'm going to give an example, Karen. She can go to work and she can do her job and she can do it quite well. And it can have finances involved in it or budgeting or something. And she'll do it and she'll do it extremely well. But if you ask her about her budget at home, she has no idea. And she says, she'll say that she does. She's going to argue with you because she feels because she makes money that she knows her finances.
That's like anyone being like, I'm married. I know how to do marriage well.
Right?
No.
But there are tons of those people.
I have hair on my head. I know how to do my hair well. I'm picking on myself there, okay?
Oh, I thought you were picking on me too. Oh, Kelly. So her mom like really has to break down the conversation and say, and give her examples. No, hun, like you actually don't know your finances. And it actually gets somewhat confrontational in the session where you can see her not being happy with the way that the session's going. Like, what's the point? Can we move on? Like, she's annoyed.
That's deflection. And she feels incompetent.
Yes. And thank you.
And yeah, it's tough. And I'll explain it. And I'm saying that with a lot of empathy. Like, she obviously values competency. That's where she's put all of her focus in her life. What her mother is bringing to her attention is her lack of competency in some areas, simply meaning it's underdeveloped. Doesn't mean you're not capable of being competent. It simply means that you are not yet developed. That's okay. But if the ego can't take that feedback, then it's perceived as a threat. So let's deflect. What is the point of the session?
Exactly.
So Karen, what was the point?
She wants to, like, Johari wants to attack me at that point. She doesn't want to see that it's her mom giving the messages and that her mom's actually trying to help her with something and point something out and actually give her the tools. She wants to come right at me. Like, well, this isn't my mom and I don't know what you're doing and this just seems off. So she makes it a personal, you're no good at your job because, like you said, out of the deflection of, I can't look at me. Mm-hmm. So let's pick on you instead. Mm-hmm. And
this is 100% why I don't channel in life coaching.
Right.
Because, and I'm going to point this out because this is a really good example. So for someone who is dropping the ball in one area of their life, coming in because they have identified that they have distress over something, I'm giving them the tools to actually figure it out, which maybe mom is going to do in this channeling session. Here's some tools, honey, that I'd love for you to have. But if that person is not open to the feedback, they're willing to attack you, tell you you're not good at your job, but it's not your opinion. You're just channeling a spirit who is trying to help her, right? Versus in a coaching session, you tell me the problem. We're going to give you the tools. If you don't like the solution, come at me. But I'll know who you're coming at, right? And you can't make this about a different type of argument and use deflection and then claim confusion about what we're doing, which I'm sure we're about to jump into.
Yes.
Yeah. Confusion is the ultimate out, the ultimate way of saying I choose to avoid. I'll just say I'm confused and that shuts you down.
Mofo.
I'm being a motherfucker?
Yes, you are. You're ruining my session.
It's fine. Because I'm super competent.
Jesus, I don't even have to look at any of my notes now.
This is fun.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, right. It wasn't fun for me in the session, let me tell you.
No, I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, thank you.
You never deserve that.
Nor
does her mother, right?
Exactly. That's what breaks my heart at the end of the day, is how abusive she is towards not just me, her mom.
The spirit world.
And yes. And here she is calling for the spirit world to say, please, you know, come in. Mom, help me with my life. Talk to me. And her mom actually shows up fully loaded. like totally ready to completely help her. And as soon as she does what her daughter asks, her daughter just totally beats her up.
Well, and would that not be indicative of the human relationship?
Yes.
Because, I mean, we do that constantly, right? As unhealthy humans, yep. We cry to our mommy or our daddy and we say, oh my God, please help me. I don't know what to do. And then they might come in with some great advice and we're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You think you're better than me? You think you know me? You don't know me. Right. Like, sometimes I have to sit here and think, why would they behave any differently?
Exactly.
With the spirit part of their loved one. Quotations.
Yeah.
When all they've known was to abuse them as humans.
Yeah, very much.
Or be abused by them.
Right? Let's go back to confusion.
Sure.
Because that's where the session went. And thank you for sharing everything else so everybody could listen and learn. Her mom went back to confusion and said this type of behavior that she does, plus the fact that she doesn't want to learn anything about emotional intelligence, and she doesn't deal with something as simple as the finances, where she sits down and actually learns them, keeps her in states of confusion. So then she doesn't really know, can I really afford this piece of furniture or not? I'm not certain. So it keeps her in these states of, I don't know. It keeps her in a state of making promises and then backing up and then forgetfulness. Mm-hmm. So her mom goes through and starts to point out a whole bunch of behaviors, a whole bunch. And she points out the way that Johari thinks and says, now, your scatteredness here, the forgetfulness, the not following through, the impulsivity, the distractions, she just lists them, Kelly. And they're not complimentary, right? Mm-hmm. So Johari's sitting there looking at me like even she gets madder and madder during her session. And then her mom says the one thing that breaks it all. She says, Johari, sit still like this. And then you can totally see Johari wants to be like, like she's just going through the roof with anger at this point. She says, this is what you're calling your ADHD. Mm. And Johari looks at me and she goes, what? And it's in that one sentence or two sentences, sit still, which sent her through the roof in anger because apparently it's what her mom would say on earth. It's what her husband is saying. It's what other people are saying to her, sit still, be still. And she cannot stand the spiritual people that say meditate and sit in the present moment. She hates all of that be still stuff.
Because there's so much dysregulation. She has not learned to sit with an uncomfortable emotion.
Bingo.
And for many, many people, we might lose a lot of followers here, this is what we're labeling ADHD as a society. Mm-hmm. Because there is a lack of skill to sit with discomfort.
Yeah.
We naturally as humans, very brilliantly as humans, divert our attention so that we don't have to focus on the uncomfortable emotion. Mm-hmm. But then when we divert over and over and over again and we create
pattern,
the anxiety is now driving, yeah. What can I divert my attention to?
Yes.
We are now in an ingrained pattern of diversion, mm-hmm. which we're calling scatteredness and now labeling ADHD, when really what's happening is the dysregulated emotions.
Yes. So, and Kelly, I specifically said to Johari, your mom is saying that you've not been diagnosed. You're self-diagnosing it.
And most people are.
Okay. And so that was one of the keys for Johari to go, oh, and to like sink in and stop the, I'm so angry, I want to call an end to the session. I was shocked she didn't hit end meeting multiple times. During the session, she was so angry and irritated. And then when those sentences came through, she did calm down a little bit and she looked at me and she went, this is true. I have self-diagnosed. And she says, but I've gone online and I've just done some things like, and she, I think she said on Instagram and.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
You can go online. And you can diagnose yourself with all kinds of diseases and illnesses mm-hmm. based on a cold and a rash. And you can convince yourself you have stage 4 something, right? You can diagnose yourself as a narcissist because you don't properly have the skills to observe your own patterns of behavior. Like, you can self-diagnose anything that you want if you suck at self-observing.
Right. Yeah.
Or and when I say suck at self-observing, that may be the hypersensitivity to notice patterns that aren't there, and also the inability to notice patterns that are there.
Kelly, you've done it again in this conversation. Because her mom then talks about how much she's self-diagnosing and how much she's listening to her partner point out certain behaviors to her. And she's taking those behaviors and keying them in. My husband says this, but her husband isn't always telling her the truth.
There's another component. Do you have trustworthy people who are helping you observe?
Exactly. And her mom pointed that out. And she just looked at me and went, no, my husband wouldn't do that to me. And I said, no, I said, I'm not saying that he's intentionally doing it to you, manipulatively. And she goes, oh, I think I know. Oh, and then you see the lights going on, like over and over again. And I said, no, I said, your mom's not trying to say that your husband's being mean. He's trying to be helpful. But he's pointing some things out and he's wording it in certain ways where you're then taking it and placing it. And you're saying, I am this. But you're not understanding that that could be a trauma response as opposed to a narcissistic trait or as opposed to an ADHD trait. And I said, it's very important to understand that he's not doing it with malintent. And I said, but it is still contributing to you misdiagnosing yourself. And I said, so first of all, let me be clear. I'm not a doctor and I'm not diagnosing you and I'm not allowed to. And let's be clear. Your mom's not going to do it as a person who's crossed over. She's not allowed to. What your mom is trying to point out to you are some of your patterns and your behaviors and some of the things that you are doing that are bringing you in a direction in life that isn't healthy for you. And she's just saying you could do better. And when I said that, she went, okay. And I said, so do you feel less defensive? And she goes, she just started kind of, this was our first kind of break in like, oh my God, a 90-minute session that was extremely painful for me. And I'm sure extremely painful for her mother and for the spirit guides. To some degree, I realize they're not humans.
It's not this, yeah.
And they're not the same, going to feel the same things we feel.
Well, yeah, I would equate it to like, you know, if you're sitting in a classroom, for me it was math, okay? And like the teacher explains something, i.e. mom, the spirit, and a kid raises their hand and says, I don't get it. And the teacher's like, okay, let me explain it a different way. So mom's trying to reword it, right, in a way that hopefully you will understand. And another kid raises their hand and goes, wait a second, I don't understand it when you say it that way. So mom's like, okay, hang on, let me find a different example. So like that's what we say pain, right? No, it's not human pain. It's not resentment. It's not you dumb fuck, right?
Right.
Like it is, okay, let me try again. Okay, let me try again.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the exertion of energy with the intent to connect.
Exactly.
And I think what people don't necessarily understand is the intent to connect is beautiful. It does require an output of energy. We can still be exhausted having created the connection, but that doesn't mean we're upset.
Exactly. I love that.
That's intimacy, right?
Yes. It's working. Yes, it's intimacy. Exactly. It's working on a relationship. Mm-hmm. Which is what her mom was not willing to give up on, no matter how her daughter was behaving. And where her daughter struggled for about the first hour in that session, like I said, Kelly, I'm so shocked she never ended the session. I think it was just the fact that she had spent the money.
Hey, that's good enough.
Yeah, that she didn't want to give up on her session to see where else it could go if she could kind of rescue the session. And it was really her mom that rescued the session with her persistence and calmness and her ability just to say the right thing at the right time. But sometimes you can't jump to that. You have to build to that in a process in a session.
I was just going to say that they mean, this is a common understanding that you have to shell out money. It has to hurt a little bit for people to be invested, right? Mm-hmm. And what we saw a lot of, especially early on in both of our practices, is when people were gifted sessions.
Oh, yeah.
Like gift certificates. So someone shelled out the money. Those individuals who received it as a gift were largely ungrateful, impatient, dismissive, because they weren't invested, right? It was more of a, well, we'll see if this entertains me. We'll see if I like this. Mm-hmm. And the channeling isn't supposed to be about, do I like it, right? It's about, is it valid? Is it correct? Mm-hmm. And so it's good that she invested to sit there and go, okay, how can I see where the value is, right? It keeps you in, hopefully, the curiosity, the openness, to really fully evaluate the scenario, as opposed to just being able to go, this is shit, I'm not sticking around for this. Mm-hmm. And not feeling like you had to try to connect.
Yeah.
Money will do that to people.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It can be a very good thing and necessary for some people. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Johari, she sits there and she says, okay, she says, I think I understand what you're saying. She says, because mom is correct about my husband and that he's trying to help me, and that I've self-diagnosed to say that I have, ADHD. So now we're starting to approach things like I do, have it. And her mom jumped in at that point and said, yes. And now he's making concessions and now he's enabling this. And the mom said to her, "Hun, this isn't good, because it means that you're not creating healthier processes for yourself. You're not following through on things now. He's considering, and you're considering, oh, well, she doesn't need to. And he's saying, well, I'll have to pick up the slack because she can't." Mm-hmm. When in fact, her mom is coming in and saying, no, you actually just need to slow down. You need to emotionally regulate. You need to build emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. You need different types of communication skills. You need follow through. You need better listening skills. And when her mom said that, she went, okay, I've been accused of not having good listening skills at work a lot. And she says, I have a boss that keeps telling me, just slow down. Just slow down. You got this. I know you can do it. You've done it in the past. She goes, my mom is saying just enough things to me that is helping me piece this together, that quite possibly, she says, and more and more in this session, I'm beginning to believe that I either need to go and be properly diagnosed and get the proper help. Because what I'm also understanding is that if I am going to be diagnosed with this, I still need all these things. Mm-hmm. And that's when her mom was like, that's the point, honey. Mm-hmm. That is exactly the point.
Not to mention, like, how kind of a statement, I want to draw attention to this, that the boss is saying, just slow down. Mm-hmm. I know you can do this. You've done this in the past. That is so supportive. They are saying, I have evidence of your success. Right now you're in self-sabotage mode, and I am telling you one tiny tool that I know works for you because I've witnessed it, right? Like, and when we are so in our shame, we process just slow down, the tool, as an accusation or as a reason to become defensive, instead of seeing what a beautiful process someone is trying to help us through and love us in the process.
Yeah.
Like, the same statement can be viewed as this horrible thing that this person is working against us, or be seen as, wow, I have support here. I could be okay.
Yeah. Right? And her mom points out that she has a husband that's happy and willing and capable of doing that as well. He's just not understanding and doesn't have the right tools himself to do it. And he's believing her self-diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And then he's jumping on board to be the supportive husband that he really wants to be, to show her that he loves her. He doesn't want to say, I don't believe you or I don't trust you, and then add to problems. So he's just kind of like getting right on board without the proper process.
Mm-hmm. It's so, to me, I'm going to use black and white terms. It's just so annoying to me, because as far as I know, people don't look at their children with, and I don't know the proper terminology, but like individuals who have cerebral palsy who can are like very, very high functioning, mm-hmm. right? And people with Down syndrome. Right? Yeah. Parents aren't looking at those children and being like, it's okay, sweetie, don't learn that. You've got Down syndrome. It's okay, sweetie, don't worry about that. Right. You've got cerebral palsy. Accept your limitations. They are doing everything they possibly can to be like, cool, what parameters are we working with? Yeah. And how can we blow past those limitations in a way that support your learning style?
Right.
And it's like, let's get the most out of you so that you can enjoy your life and be totally in control in the ways that you're capable of. And then we have these stupid fucking diagnoses of ADHD because it's dysregulation. And we're saying, oh, we all now just have to accept your limitations and not expect anything else from you.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, and I want to be specific. That's exactly what was happening between her and her husband and what she was expecting from other people or was getting angry yeah. if they weren't doing that
and
for
I,
her.
I love that you pointed out, too, yeah. that his intention was actually to support her, to yes. say, I want to believe you. I want to love you. But then the support ended up being, I will enable the limitations you've decided you have.
Right. Yep.
And we're calling that love.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's... I'm not faulting the husband there. That's fucked up that that's the thinking that we've accepted.
Mm-hmm. So her mom was the one that was coming in to break all of that down, mm-hmm. to give the examples, to try gently to do this because of her high level of defensiveness and the defensive stance that she was holding because she was getting all of the support from her husband to say, I'm on board to support you. So let's get right in there and make sure that we treat you that way. Mm-hmm. And then anybody else that was coming along in her life, like her boss, to say, just slow down, just take your time. I know you got this. I know you can do it. She was becoming, she's not a supportive boss anymore.
Right.
She's, now I'm going to, you know, whatever it was. There wasn't a deep explanation about the work environment other than that. But Johari sat there and you could literally see this woman sitting there putting the pieces together. And at the end of the session, she said to me, well, this is life changing.
Yeah.
She goes, this is marriage changing, career changing. She says, I'm shamed. She says, I feel shame.
Nice. Okay, wait. I say nice because she was actually able to identify the emotion, the core emotion that she yep. was sitting in. Instead of being in her irritation, her anger, her rage, her unkindness, she actually got deeper, which is a huge fucking feat, not only to sit in it, but to accurately label it and own it.
Okay, so when she said that,
did you happy dance?
I did my yeah. happy dance in my seat with my shoulder.
Which is super fun because now Johari gets to learn that she can be in her shame and not be abandoned.
Yeah.
Because this is probably what it all comes back to, right? Is the big emotions is when we fear that we're going to get abandoned.
Right.
Or that we're going to be all by ourselves. So she sits here in the worst of the worst emotions. And I don't mean worst in that she shouldn't feel it. Just in, it feels like it's going to kill us. And she has a human happy dancing in front of her. Saying, you're okay, you're safe.
I'm proud of you.
We don't need to run from it. I'm yep. proud of you. You're doing great.
That's what I said.
Keep going, but go slow.
That's exactly, Kelly. That's like, and I won't say word for word what I said to her, but those are basically the statements made, right? Mm-hmm. Proud of you from Karen. And I would say from Karen, mm-hmm. I'm proud of you. Mom is proud of you. Your spirit guides are proud of you. Your team that you've hired today, that because the three of us will mm-hmm. say, we're her team. Mm-hmm. And we're the team that supports her in her truth, encouraging her if she wants to go to a professional to be diagnosed and get the right help. Cool. We want to support that too. We want to support her husband. We want to support her boss. We are here for the support if it's healthy. Mm-hmm. We are here to tell the truth and then to let her make her decisions from that. And we are also here not to shame her, just like you said, and to do the happy dance because here she is sitting in her shame and I'm happy dancing going, you're doing great. And that takes her out of her shame in seconds. Mm-hmm. And shame is just sitting beside her instead of sitting within her. Mm-hmm. And then what do I see her doing on the other end of Zoom?
Happy dancing with
happy
you?
Happy dancing nice. With me. And she's like, oh. Oh, And then she starts moving like I am. And or I don't mean identically. I just mean she's doing her own little dance over there. And she goes, okay. She goes, all right. I got to go.
90 minutes, guys.
90 minutes. And she goes, I got to go. And she says, the first person I have to talk to is my husband. And she says, I won't go into any of the details. Suffice it to say, thank you to Mom. Because she's probably just saved our marriage.
That's beautiful.
And she says she's probably just saved my career. So I just want to say thanks. So as she's getting, go ahead, Kelly.
But only because Johari decided for that to be the case.
That's right.
Right? Mom can bring all of those healthy messages forward. If she had chosen to dig her heels in and really let shame take the wheel, right, and keep her in her anger and her rage, that wouldn't have saved anything. That would have demolished everything, and she would have believed that you probably ended the marriage, right? We've had a few of those emails over the years. Instead, she took it with her openness and decided to do something constructive with it. That's important, right? Because that's where people feel the healthy kind of control over their own lives again. And that's the whole fucking point of the sessions. That's what clarity, direction, and relief actually brings you. The healthy kind of control.
Right. That's it, Kelly.
Okay, then. I had fun today. Sounds like you did too eventually.
I did too. And I think afterwards, if I, you know, when I go for a walk with a friend and they say, how are your sessions today? And if I can think about Johari's session, I would say, bloody fantastic.
Cool. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.